I think it's a privilege to be here. I don't know why I'm so scared, though. I'd like to invite your attention to Romans chapter 12. Romans 12. Whenever I was in elementary school, we had to do a science project about, we went out and we got extra credit for getting caterpillars. And we bring them in back to class, and then we watch them watch the process and how they were transformed into butterflies. And I think that that's a good picture of what Paul is talking about here in the chapter 12. And we'll begin reading with verses 1 and 2. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech ye, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. May God bless the reading of his word this evening. My title for this message this evening is Living a Life of Consecrated Transformation. God wants us to live a life of consecrated transformation. Paul is writing here to Roman Christians. This whole book is to address the Christians in the Church of Rome. And he is writing that he wants them to live lives of consecrated transformation. And Paul identifies three steps here that we are to take to live this life of consecrated transformation. Step number one would be present your bodies a living sacrifice. Step number two would do not conform to this world. Conform not to this world. And step number three, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So let's look at the first point. Present your bodies a living holy sacrifice. What does it look like to present your body a living holy sacrifice unto God? It is total consecration, living totally under his control, being led and guided by his spirit, no matter what the cost, totally surrendered to whatever he may call you to do. This reminds me of a story of a young Welsh missionary. He felt like he was called to go to, as a remote tribe in Africa. Not everybody has a specific calling, but he felt like he was supposed to go to this specific tribe. And they're known for their brutality and how severely brutal they are to the people they come up against. And he felt like he should go there, so he did what he thought he was supposed to do. And he went there and he worked for many, many years. And sadly, he didn't see any evident result. He didn't see anything that he could be like, all right, God help me do this or whatever. He didn't see any changes in people's lives. Until this one day, this warrior, he's a real big guy in the tribe, and he decided that he wanted to follow Christ. So the chief heard about this, and it bothered him. He was afraid that he would lose power of the tribe and he might lose control to this new religion. So he called everybody together and he decided that he was going to have to get rid of this guy or have him renounce his faith. So he told the young warrior, he was like, you're going to have to renounce your faith or we're going to have to kill you and your family. And the warrior said, I have decided to follow Jesus. And sadly that day his sons were killed before him. And the chief walks up to him again. He's like, I'll give you one more chance. You need to renounce your faith. And he said, though none go with me, still I will follow. And sadly that day as well, his wife was burned at the stake in front of him. And his last recorded words, the chief gave him one more chance, and his last recorded words, though none go with me, the cross before me, the world behind me, no turning back, no turning back. He was totally committed to what God had called him to do and what he was supposed to do. We notice here that we've already addressed that Paul is talking to Christians here. And in verse 5, it says that these are ones that have been brought out, the ones that have a new birth in Christ. Only Christians can make this sacrifice. In response to a sinner's surrender of the rebellion and the sinner's repentance, God gives him a pardon from sin and causes a spiritual new birth to occur. This is where we receive the idea of living a holy, acceptable sacrifice to God. All our power, our mind, our spirit, as well as body, we must be yielded to God. Everything put in his hands for his holy purposes. All of life becomes a holy partnership with Christ. This total consecration is both a process and a crisis. It's an act, but yet it's a lifestyle. It's a continual giving, presenting your body to Christ. It's like the vows of marriage, that one I do at the altar, we say I do, it's like a crisis. It's an instant, but you're actually saying that I'm going to live this out. It's a continual dedication. It represents the continual doing, the ongoing working. I give you everything. By your grace, I'm going to keep giving and going on doing everything that you would call me to do. Something that I've been learning more and more the older that I get is this walk with God is, it's just that. It's a journey. It's not that we arrive, as it were, I guess, but it's that we're continually growing. We're learning to be more like Christ and to grow in his image and to be more the man, the woman that he wants us to be. When we do this, we allow God to shape us and to mold us and to grow closer to him. We worship God, Paul says, by giving ourselves in sacrificial service to our Lord. We are to serve him every day, every minute, even every second of every day. We are to worship him in every area of our life, in our work, or our eating, our conversations, and anything that we do, our jobs, anything that we do should be a representation of giving to Christ. So we see that Christians are commanded to present their bodies to God in order to live a life consecrated to transformation. Now we'll move on to point two. We notice that he admonished them not to be conformed to the world. Conform not to the world. Conform here suggests the gradual process by which we are squeezed into the world's mold. But what is a biblical definition of the world? Well, world or worldliness, when used in a negative sense, is any attitude that you adopt or action that you take that is not in harmony with God's written word. So anything that you do that is against God's word. There are so many ways that the world can push us into our mold, to its mold, and we have to avoid this. We have to flee things that might be squeezing us into the world's mold. Conformity here is commanded, we see, but it is not enough. We notice that Paul says that we are to be transformed. And that's my third point. Being transformed. How are we transformed? Well, Paul makes it very clear that we are to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. It's a process. The fact that Paul calls us as believers to be engaged in this renewing of the mind shows that it doesn't automatically happen. But God helps us to renew our mind daily and to continual growing in him. God's Spirit comes to reside in us. He helps provide a whole new way of thinking. But our thinking isn't always instantaneously changed. It doesn't happen in an instant or whatever. But the rest of the old life, we might have a desire to do something, but what God helps us to do is to not give in to that desire or to override that. That we may prove that which is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. That you may prove, this is a practical proof, or experiential knowledge, as I think Brother Ziegler mentioned this morning, that we know the purpose and determination which is good in and of itself. Acceptable, it is well-pleasing, and to be well-received by every mind that is being renewed and being transformed. Perfect here is a finished, complete. When the mind is renewed, the whole life is changed, then the will of God is perfectly fulfilled. For this is his grand design in reference to human beings, that we become more Christ-like, more like him. King David testifies, "Thy word have I treasured in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." God's word is the instrument of his own voice. He uses his word to renew our minds, which in turn he uses his word to transform our living, the way we think, the way that we do things. The transformed and renewed mind is a mind saturated with and controlled by the word of God. It is the mind that spends as little time as possible doing the things that don't really matter, but that dwells on things of God. It is the mind that is set on things above, not on things that are on the earth. Whether good or bad, when anything happens in our life, our immediate, almost reflexive response should be biblical. How would Christ want me to act in this situation? What would be most Christ-like in this situation? So just a quick recap, we noticed that we are to present our bodies to be a living and holy sacrifice. We are to conform not to the world, and we are to be being transformed, continually being transformed by the renewing of our mind. Our will should only desire what God desires us to do, that we only do what he wants us to do, and that the way that he wants us to do it, according to his will and by his power. He gives us the power and the strength. I was very thankful for Adelia's songs about the giant. I feel like I'm facing a giant right now because this is not really me. I don't know. Anyways, it was so encouraging that God is able to deliver us. And like he calls us to live a life of consecrated transformation. So he's going to make this, like, he's going to enable us and empower us to be able to do this, to live the way that he wants us to live and to grow in the way that he wants us to. The product of a transformed mind is a life that does the things that God has declared to be righteous, fitting, complete. This is the goal of the supreme act of worship. So how does living a consecrated life transformation look in our lives today? Well, at the beginning of the new year, I've been thinking a lot, and I want to live continually to be the man that God wants me to be, to continually be growing and surrendering and being led by his Spirit. We must do the initial presentation. We must present our bodies, ourselves to God as the living sacrifice. We must surrender our wills, our dreams, our desires, our body, our everything to him. I give you all, I surrender all to him. We must stop being conformed to this world. Are we saturating our minds and lives of this world's mold by maybe the things that we see or the things that we do or maybe the music that we listen to or anything, the places we go? Are we intentionally avoiding, conforming not to the world, of intentionally maybe not putting our family in places that conform us to the world? Is there anything in our lives that is enabling us and saturating us to be conformed to the world? We're to conform not. We're to intentionally conform not to the world, to stay away from things that would be harmful to us, our relationship to God, and to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. God himself gave us his word. What a great place to renew our minds. This year, let's intentionally dive into his word deeper. We can study his word, memorize his word, but most of all, we must live out his word in every part of our lives. We have fellowship with the Father continually. We can renew our minds by talking to our Heavenly Father. What a great privilege. We can renew our minds by practicing thinking biblically. How would Christ want us to think in this situation? To not dwell on negative things or critical thinking, but to think loving and trying to love each other and love God more. In Philippians 4:8, the writer says, "Finally, my brethren, whatever is pure, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things." He tells us that we are to dwell on the good, to dwell on things of God. We need to saturate our minds above all. God wants you, God wants me to live a life of consecrated transformation. And that's my desire today. I want to live totally for him and to draw closer to him in all that I do.